Proverbs chapter 28. This is either going to be a two or a three-part lesson. It just depends how long it takes for us to get through it. But I am going to teach for the next couple Wednesday nights, at least, on the recipe for biblical finances. The recipe for biblical finances, and I'm going to use Proverbs 28 as our base for all of this, and I want to help you. I really do. Now, I want you to look at me after you find your place there. This is not intended to rip anybody's face off. This isn't a financial class, but I promise you one thing, there's going to be more financial wisdom come out from across this piece of wood in the next couple of weeks than you've heard in a long time. And I promise you that I can help you if you'll listen. Say why? Because it's not my words, it's God's. And I happen to believe God knows a whole lot better than most people do. And so Proverbs chapter 28, let's start reading in verse number 18. Are you ready? Proverbs 28 verse 18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Now, keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them. Mainly, we're going to stay in the book of Proverbs, not totally, but I want to help you. Let me start by saying this. Money should not be a god to us. Money should not be the sole purpose of our life. Now, we all need money in which to live. But money and what it can buy makes a pretty lousy god. Can I tell you something? That right there isn't much of a god, is it? And yet, more people give more of their life for it than any other thing. That right there has destroyed many of Christians. It's destroyed many of lives. The exchange of it has. I could go on and on and on and on. By the way, I'm not against people having money. I'm really not. God's not either. And I'll show you some of these things, but God knows how important money is, and God knows how, listen to this statement, how powerful money is. Money is power. Money is not just a currency. Money is power. Oh, good, I get a pizza, don't I? I won't tell anybody that it's genies. No. Can I tell you something? God knows that money can control us if we allow it to. Money can control us if we allow it to. But money does not have to control you. Money doesn't have to be the controlling factor of your life. Money is by far the biggest stressor in a home or marriage. Let me say that again. Money by far is the biggest stressor in a home or marriage. I have been in the ministry full time over 31 years. I was taught this in Bible college. It's still true today. The first of five things that breaks up a marriage is money. Then you got in-laws. Then you got kids. All right, and then you got the opposite gender. That and money, those are the five things that will destroy a marriage. But the first thing, and you could take all of the four others put together, and it doesn't equal what money does. Money is the biggest problem in the home. Now, churches these days have financial seminars to get their people out of debt so that they can give more money to the church. I am not here trying to get more money out of you. I'm going to make that very clear. You'll go long and hard to find a pastor that speaks as little about money as I do and puts as little pressure on people about money as I do. I just ask you to obey God and let God take care of the rest. I really believe in that. You say, well, how'd you get your building and property? By faith. I told our people, you do what God says and God will take care of the rest. I'm not asking anybody to go into debt to give money to the church. Matter of fact, I love preaching this way. You could double your tithe without giving one penny more to the church. Go out and reach somebody, bring them to church and teach them to tithe. Amen. That's my favorite way to teach somebody to give more to the church. Everybody doing okay? That's not common preaching in America today. But that's the way it ought to be. So, I simply want you to obey God and see his hand of blessing upon you. I really believe if Christians would just follow what God said about money, about finances, just like any other area of life, we could see God's blessing in that area. Now, I would rather, yes, Lord, thunder is rolling. Instead of some worldly financial planner, how about we use the Bible? Instead of bringing some financial guru to the church, how about we go to the God who created man and everything that is in the world, who understands us better than any financial guru could? I am not the best businessman in the world. I will agree with you on that. Okay? But I'll promise you one thing. I do a fair amount of business, and I do it fairly well. I've dealt with several banks in the last several weeks and banking situations for here at the church and personally and other things. And may I say something? I may not be the biggest financier, and I don't have great accumulations of money in the bank myself, but that doesn't mean that you're not a good businessman. I think I understand money. Money is a tool. It doesn't have to be what controls you.
That's
right. You know, either you control the hammer or you get smacked by the hammer.
That's right.
And that's kind of what finances are. I was talking to a banker last week, and they said, Pastor, you seem to know an awful lot about financing. I said, yes, ma'am. I've been counseling it for many years. She said, do you mind me asking you a few questions on how you counsel? I said, I don't mind at all. She asked me. I gave her the statement. She said, boy, you need to come talk to some of my employees. You could teach us here at the bank how to help people. I said, no, just send your people to my church. I'll help them. We laughed. I'm not criticizing financial people. There's a fella out there, I think his name's Dave Ramsey. He's supposedly a Christian biblical financier. Can I tell you something? You don't need Dave Ramsey. You need the Word of God.
Amen.
You can buy all the books and go broke buying all the books, or you can read the one that's sitting in your lap right now and do just as well. What I'm saying is a man's philosophy is wrong because they only have profit in mind. I've read a little, I've listened to a very small portion of Mr. Ramsey, and his biggest desire for you is to make a lot of money for yourself for when you retire. I'm not against having a good bit of money when you retire, but there's more to life than having a big bank account.
Amen.
And if you'll listen to me, I can show you what God has to say about it. can I tell you something? I'd rather be obedient and have fewer results than have results and not be obedient to God. I know a lot of rich people that aren't obedient to God. Our obedience is the key, not our results. And I really believe if we'll key on the obedience and not the results take care of themselves eventually. Now, I just happen to believe the God who created all things and gave us the Bible is able to maintain all things in our lives. And we're going to use the Bible as our guide for finances. And we're going to use Proverbs 28. I'm going to give you the 8 ingredients. But don't put your shoes on yet, Miss Kathy, because we ain't near done. All right? You say, how do you know she's got them off? She always has her shoes off. Yeah, she just picked them up and showed me. All right, here we go. 8 things. Number 1, walk uprightly. Number 2, till the land. Number 3, be faithful. Number 4, don't mooch for money. That's not in the Greek or Hebrew, by the way. That was, but you'll get to it later. Number 5, no get rich quick or credit card debt. Number 6, don't rob your parents. Did you hear that on the platform here? Number 7, curb your wants and desires. And number 8, help the poor. Those are the 8 ingredients for the recipe for biblical finances. Now, you say, I didn't hear tithing in that. You will, don't worry. But let me help you. Let's start with number 1 tonight. God says we need to walk uprightly financially. Look at Proverbs 28:18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Now, that word uprightly doesn't mean standing on 2 feet walking like I am right now. It's not an evolutionary term when man in eons past walked on all fours and had a tail, and then he stood up and realized he didn't need a tail and he lost his tail. The word upright means to be even or principled. It means entire or complete. It means to come to full or having integrity. The key statement here is this: to be even or principled. God says to be financially where you should be, you ought to not only live your life by principle, but run your finances by principle. The opposite, by the way, in Proverbs, you'll often see opposites. Notice verse 28. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. So that means this: the opposite of upright is perverse. We would use the word perverted. The word perverse means contrary to standard. Deliberate opposition to right or to the standard. Accepting the unacceptable as the standard. Sounds like America today. America is a perverse nation. We have accepted wrong as being right, and right is wrong. Last Sunday, the mayor of Chicago allowed people to riot in the streets of downtown Chicago while the police went church to church, finding people who were there and arresting them if they were in church. That was the city of Chicago, in America, not Soviet Russia. Chicago. And people are looting the stores. Over $60 million worth of retail has been looted this week from the city of Chicago. And the reasoning is this: well, this is reparation for us having our ancestors having been slaves. And the mayor said it's okay, but it's illegal to go to church because you might hurt somebody's health. That's called perverse. Yeah. May I say something? Money is not evil. Right. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. By the way, if you think I live luxuriously, you can come to my house. I'll show you that I don't. You can look at my F-150 truck that's got 150,000 miles on it, and you know it's not the brand new one, that's for sure. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want to show you a verse. We'll look at verse number 10. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I want you to notice it doesn't say for money is the root of evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Have you ever heard this statement? Follow the money and you follow the trail. Yeah. You want to follow the trail of evil? Follow the money. You want to follow politics? Follow the money. You want to see the trouble that's brewing? Follow the money. You'll find out who's influencing it. Now, so money itself is not evil. It's neutral. It has no bad. It has no good. It can only be as that which it is used for. But the love of and the lust of money is what makes evil come about. In other words, the accumulation of power because of money. One thing our forefathers, I wish, would have foreseen, but they were godly people who really sincerely believed America would stay a Christian nation and could not foresee what we have today. If 150, 200 years ago, our forefathers would have said there are term limits on every level of politics, local, city, county, and national, we wouldn't be where we are today. Amen. Best way to solve the problem in D.C., term limits.
Yep.
Best way to solve the problem in Jefferson County and Berkeley County, term limits.
Amen.
Best way to solve the problem on the Supreme Court, term limits. Everybody doing okay? I believe that anybody that's in power too long will corrupt eventually.
Yep.
When you have too much power for too long, it will corrupt you.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd rather not. Man's sinful nature wants power. If we went to Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, we won't take time there. You'll see this statement. Job was an upright man who loved God and eschewed evil. He was an upright man. Job was the most wealthy man of his day. He was the billionaire, so to speak. He had five different businesses, many different workers. He was a very wealthy man, and yet Job was a very godly man. The Bible says he was upright. In other words, he worked by principle. He followed things by a standard. Now, having money, and money itself is not evil. Perverting life to get it and the power of wealth is what is evil. Perverting life and perverting the power to get it is what is evil. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? When somebody goes against leadership to get money, they've perverted their power to get money.
That's right.
Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, just at the beginning of the book here of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse number 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors rooted out of it. Notice, the upright shall dwell. What's the word dwell mean? Live.
Yep.
Live comfortably in the land. And the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 29. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Ooh, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Notice the way, the pathway of the Lord is strength to the upright. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity, those who sin to get what they want. Yeah. Yeah. Those marching in the streets looting. Destruction's coming. I didn't say it. God did. They're not dwelling in the land. They're rioting in the land. Can I tell you something? What's going to happen after all this mess is over and all those businesses go under and there's nobody there to take care of the people that were paying their bills for the first time? 80 days almost, Seattle's been in turmoil. And just today they said now they're moving from the downtown district to the people's homes because there's nothing left in downtown. Now you're going to see what's going to take place. There's going to be some bodies stacking up. Because I've been out in Seattle and I know who lives out there. And once you get away from downtown where all the fruits, flakes, and nuts and the Starbucks people live. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But that's who owns Starbucks, by the way. They're the biggest supporter of the LGBTQ rainbow people. Starbucks. Just ruined your coffee, didn't I? Yeah. Can I tell you something? Money isn't the problem. It's the power that goes with it when people pervert it. Walking uprightly means you have finances under control. Your finances don't control you. You control your finances. Your finances don't control you. See, that's the big difference. Do your finances control you, or do you control your finances? Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 9. Let me show you a verse here, and then I'm going to holler for a second. Proverbs 10:9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Did you know that you don't have to live in worry whether your bills are going to get paid or not? There's two ways to fix a financial problem. Either get everything you want or want everything you have. Amen. You either have to increase the income or decrease the outgo. That's the only two ways to fix a financial problem. You either have to increase the income or decrease the outgo. You can't always control how much comes in, but you can control how much goes out. Everybody doing all right? When we went into this building program for this church, my wife and I had sunk everything we had before we ever got to this point into this church. I had nothing left. But she and I got together, we prayed, we coveted, we decided, and I told the men on the board and I told our church, I'm cutting my salary $15,000 a year, and we won't worry about it. That's going to be my contribution. I can't give a whole lot, but I can keep it from bleeding that much. So that's what we did. I still had a daughter in college, still had a wedding to pay for after that, et cetera, et cetera. You say, how'd you do that, preacher? Guess what? God's been awful pretty good to me. Still haven't taken it all back. Took a little portion of it back. Then we decided to hire Brother Josh and gave a bunch of it to that. Got his settled. We got some more folks given and men came to me. I said, no, we need to give Mrs. Barnes a raise. Let her have a raise first. Say why? Because that lady works hard and she deserves it. Yes, I'm doing quite fine. Don't worry about my wife and I. We're doing fine. Don't worry. I just happen to believe in taking care of the fruit trees. Got to take care of the rest. I couldn't control how much came in, but I could control how much went out. Amen. So cut down a whole bunch on that. No problem. Say, preacher, I can't believe you did that. I don't care. Didn't ask you. That's just the way it is. You don't have a vote in it. Mm. That's just the way it goes. By the way, I didn't stop tithing either. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Now, hang on here. You don't have to live worried about paying the bills if you walk uprightly, because you won't have bills that are more than you can afford to pay.
Right.
I'm going to make a statement. You ought to live on your base salary, not your overtime.
Amen.
If you have to have overtime to live, your finances are running you. You're not running them. Son, you and I ain't got hope. When you live by salary, it doesn't matter how many hours you put in.
Nope.
It's there. Yep. I've lived on salary for so long, I wouldn't know what to do with an hourly pay. I'm not kidding. You know, when you do this for 31 years, you don't even know what an hourly pay is anymore by which to live. And I put a whole lot more hours in by salary than I ever did hourly. That's for sure. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. This will help you a little bit here. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse number 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Watch this. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken out in their own naughtiness. That's all in reference to finances. Did you notice riches profit not? And it talks about righteousness and uprightness and perverseness and transgression and wickedness. In other words, if you'll live righteous with your finances, God can bless it and make it go farther. And it won't run you. You get to run it. Boy, that's a good statement. Psalm 49. Turn there quick. Psalm 49. This is all in reference to being upright or principled or what God wants us to be. The first thing here, look at Proverbs or Psalm 49, look at verse 14. Like sheep, they are laid in the gravel. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwellings. Notice who has control over them, the upright. Let me ask you a question, and don't answer it out loud. Do you have a grasp on your finances, or does it just chokehold you all the time? Walking uprightly means that you understand money is a tool. It's not a drug or alcohol addiction, so you can get more because you want more. Did you know that an addiction means you have to have more of it to keep your body regulated? Heroin, crack, alcohol, nicotine, those are all drugs. Some are legal, some are not. I don't think any of them ought to be, personally. You say, why? Because it's a drug that controls you. Money is a tool. Money doesn't have to control you. You allow it to control you like a drug if you're not careful. Proverbs 15. Look at Proverbs 15. Look at verse number 21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Folly. Say, what is that? That's somebody who is in debt, struggling to pay their bills, but they'll go take a $5,000 or $10,000 vacation every summer. I'm not against taking a good vacation, but if you can't afford it, don't do it.
Amen.
I couldn't afford vacations very often, but I'd take time off. And I'd call a couple preacher friends and say, can I come preach for you? And you put my family and I up for the week and I'll preach. You don't need to pay me. Come on out. Man, we took trips all over the country that way. My kids thought we were rich. I was praying money down. I didn't know where it was coming from. There's times our vacation was staying at home. Say why? Because we didn't have the money to go anywhere. But we got to be together. We'd do little one-day trips here and there. Go down to... I tried not to go to D.C. because I hate D.C. They wanted to go to D.C. a couple times. So, man, go down there and do everything you can for free and come on back. Say why? Because that's what we did, because that's all we could afford to do. I knew a guy. He lost his job. Lost a good job. And this was, let's say, 15, 20 years ago. And at that time, he was making probably $60,000, $70,000 a year, which that long ago was pretty good salary. It wasn't huge, but pretty solid salary. He lost his job. On the way home, he was so mad that he stopped and traded his car in and bought a brand new car for, it went into a bigger debt. I said, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, I was just feeling so bad, I had to do something for myself. I said, how are you going to pay for it? I don't know. That's called folly. That's called stupidity. It's amazing how many people, when they're depressed and don't have any money, go on a spending spree. I got to go buy something. Make myself feel like I'm not as bad off as I am. Perverse people in finances fall at every little thing. Listen to this statement. They live on such a fine line that the slightest bump throws them off. The slightest little bump sets off their finances to where it just crumbles. Look at Proverbs 28, verse number 10. We were in Proverbs 28. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in his possession. God says the upright person has good things in their possession. They're going to be able to make it. Little bump comes. Okay, got a little cushion there. Got a little pad there. Got a little tough time. We can squeeze the belt, but at least I'm not choking. Proverbs chapter 21. If you don't get there, that's fine. Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse 29. Proverbs 21, 29. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his ways. Boy, that bump comes, and the person that doesn't have anything to live on, they're perverse in their ways. I gotta find more work. I gotta get more money. I gotta do this. Good night. The upright says, okay, it's a bump. Here we go. I'm gonna make it. I got something to fall back on here. If you live on such an edge that if somebody breathes the wrong way or your check doesn't hit the bank on this day that you're going to be in trouble, you're living foolishly with your finances. And it's controlling you. Everybody doing okay? The upright understands that money is power and the power of money is only temporary. Did you know the power of money is temporary? As long as you have it, you have the power. As soon as you spend it, there's no power. We won't take time to turn there, but Luke chapter 15, you can read it later. You know the story. Story of the prodigal son. Got his dad's inheritance, left, lived a riotous life. You say, what is that? He was partying. He had lots of friends. As long as the money was there, he had all the friends he wanted. Can I tell you something? Money doesn't buy you friends. It only rents them.
That's right.
You can't buy a friend with money. You can rent one, but you can't buy one. Because those kind of friends, as soon as the rent's not paid, leave you.
Yep.
So, The story of the prodigal son is a lot about financing. He lived a riotous life. He had nothing left, and he was eating the husks that the pigs wouldn't eat. Now, do you know what the husk of corn is? That's that thing that you wrap a tamale in. That's the outside, the kind of translucent green or yellow or whatever color that is. What I think is funny is this. He was a Jew who was so far down, the only job he could get was feeding pigs, and they wouldn't even touch a pig. Think about that for a minute. He was feeding hogs and eating what the hogs wouldn't even eat. When you're so hungry, you're eating what pigs won't even eat. You're hungry. And the Bible says he shook himself and said, look, I could go back and work for my dad and live better than I'm living right now. Maybe he'll just hire me on for a place to live and a place to get some food, and I'll work the rest of my life. But at least I'll be somewhere where I don't have to slop hogs. By the way, he didn't go work for his dad. He worked for his brother. That's even worse. I can tell you something. God says that we're supposed to walk uprightly with our finances. Everybody listen to me very carefully. And I'm going to shut it down on this one. We'll go a little farther next week. It's going to end up being a three-weeker, I can tell you. Listen carefully. The word upright means principled. What are your principles of money? How do you live by principle with money? Well, there are certain things that you should and should not do. Number one, you don't go around telling everybody what money you do and don't have. Amen. That's just common sense, but it's not common anymore. Part of that is be careful where you put your money. Yep. Be careful who you invest your money in. I think that you ought to check out somebody before you invest in them. For instance, we support missionaries. I'll talk about this at a later time. But I check out our missionaries. I know who they are, where they are, where their kids are going to go to Bible college, et cetera, et cetera. I've already taken two or three missionaries off and replaced them with somebody else because I don't like the direction they're going. You say, you did that, preacher? Yeah. I have no problem with it. I have one we're about to do that with, and I'm checking another one out right now. Say, why? Because I believe we ought to give to missions. But we're not going to send our money to somebody who isn't preaching and living the way we believe. Everybody doing okay? Why should I send our money to somebody who isn't doing what they're supposed to do? I'm for feeding hungry little tummies in Africa. But if all a missionary does is feed hungry little tummies and doesn't give them the gospel and those little children die and go to hell with a full tummy, what good was our money feeding their tummies? I'm sorry. I just happen to believe God's money's there to see people's lives change spiritually, not just physically.
Amen.
I'm for feeding hungry people. I've had hungry people show up at the church. They said, look, I'll do anything. You got some work that I could do? Yeah. Really? What? Man, I've put them out there, and about 5 minutes later, I go out there and say, follow me. Jump in my car. No, you gave me a job to do. I said, just jump in my car. You're willing to work. It's okay. Drive them down, get them some food for them and their family, and send them on their way. There's others. They said, you mean you want me to work? Yeah. Well, I'm going to go somewhere else. See you later.
Yep.
If you're not willing to work, you shouldn't eat.
Amen.
You're not that hungry if you're not willing to work.
That's right.
Sorry. There's some principles by which we should live. I think we ought to be careful what charities we donate to. I'll get into that. There's charities that you don't know the loop that they're involved in. Yeah. Be careful that the guy on the side of the road that, you know, veteran, will, please help. God bless you. Brother Josh, you know of a story in Kentucky, I think it was. There's a guy. He's a businessman. And on the side, He dresses like that. He parks about six blocks away. He makes $60,000 a year. Is that right? Yeah, he drives a Rolls Royce. He makes like $60,000 a year on the side of the road doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's amazing how much money you can make doing that. You'd be surprised how some of these people live. Yeah. Next, you'll see Chris out there this week. Our local bag lady. She's just a, anyway. just make sure you tithe. Can I tell you something? Be careful. Before you just start funneling money into somebody, so, well, it's my kids, okay? If they're using it for drugs, why are you paying them money? Amen. Well, they're not using that money for drugs, but I'm paying their rent. Yeah, you're paying their rent so they can use the rent money to buy drugs. Be careful. Say, well, what should I do? Let them fall.
Yep.
Let them go and hit the bottom. That's what you're supposed to do. Say, well, I didn't buy their alcohol. You did if you were paying their other bills.
Right.
I hate to disappoint you. We ought to have principles about our finances. They ought to be biblical. They ought to be Bible-based. Everybody doing okay? I love you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You can't handle more than one point tonight, that's for sure. Biblical finances. I promise you, if America would step up and walk uprightly with our finances, America would be much better off financially than she is right now. Most people in this room would be better off if we did.